You're listening to 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Today is December 18th, 2023, and I am MP Holmes. 2023 has been another year full of frustration, if not outright despair, for housing in Waterloo Region. But at the All Councils meeting on December 15th, the organization Build Now Waterloo Region offered some hope. Build Now Waterloo Region is a local collaboration of not-for-profit housing providers, for-profit developers, governments, academic institutions, and the construction industry, among others. The project was announced back in July as a way to ease the housing crisis in the region. Build Now Waterloo Region's objective is to build 10,000 non-market and perpetually non-profit homes by 2030. Philip Mills, the Chief Executive Officer of Habitat for Humanity Waterloo Region, one of the central players in this initiative, updated the All Councils meeting on this groundbreaking project. He began by reminding Council of the average costs of renting, purchase prices, and the definition of affordability.
Average rents were up over $2,300 a month. And if you look at the Waterloo Region Association Realtors website, they'll tell you the average residential property went for about just over $750,000. And so when we talk about affordable housing, we're thinking about 30% of your income. So if you're paying $2,300 a month, or you have a mortgage on a $750,000 house, you need to be making $92,000 a year to afford the average rental in the region, or you need to be making over $190,000 a year to have an affordable mortgage.
The hope is that this community initiative can help the housing situation by targeting middle-income earners, such as technicians, support workers, nurses, teachers, and tradespeople who have been priced out of living in the cities. Of the 10,000 homes Build Now Waterloo Region is planning to build, 7,000 will be available for purchase and 3,000 will be available for rent. Here, Philip Mills describes this in more detail.
So we want to do 10,000 homes. 70%, 7,000 of them would be affordable ownership. 30% or 3,000 would be affordable rental. And the goal is that when time comes to sell the affordable ownership, they would be half the market price. So we're trying to create a perpetual opportunity for ownership and a mass influx of affordable rental.
These 10,000 homes will consist of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units in buildings from 3 to 6 stories in height.
The intention for these is to be that missing middle, that stuff we talk about saying we need more of, if only we could find, if only somebody would build. And so we're looking at 3 to 6-story buildings because that's the most efficient way and also the most cost-effective way to get reasonable density, but also not to fundamentally change the landscape of everything we're dealing with. We're not talking about putting massive high-rises everywhere. We're talking about a gentle densification, and we're talking about 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units. And I think that's the other key to this project that is often missed. If you look at a lot of new developments, there are a couple of 2 bedrooms, sometimes a 3-bedroom unit, but not a lot. What we're looking for is ensuring that this is not just what is most cost-effective, but what does the community actually need?
Another, perhaps the most unique element of this project, is the commitment to ensure both rentals and purchases are affordable now and forever, specifically by preventing flipping, investment, property acquisition, or other profit-seeking schemes.
So we're trying to look at the broad spectrum of need in the community and fill a gap that currently isn't being met by the market. Habitat ownership experience is going to ensure that all 7,000 ownership units stay affordable forever. So it's not just a one-time thing where a family gets to buy a house and then that's lost to the market. These will be affordable in perpetuity. There'll be no investors and there's no flipping. This is for owner-occupied. This is for families. This is for people who need housing. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is not something for somebody who wishes that they can find a way to make extra money. This is for a family that says, I want to own a home, or I want to be able to afford where I live. We're going to give them that chance back.
This project relies on 3 factors. Undeveloped land that will be donated, home builders who will eliminate pricing markups, and development charges, which will be waived through Bill 23. According to Habitat for Humanity, these 3 factors, the cost of land, the cost of labor, and development charges, account for approximately 50% of the price of a new home. Mills discussed these 3 factors in more detail.
There's 3 major things that make this project sort of go. The first is going to be land. We are looking to work with local partners, both in municipalities, not-for-profits, or concerned citizens, to look for low cost to free land. One of the major drivers for development, as you would know right now, is the high cost of land. So if we can get the land for free, we see a massive drop in the cost to develop. The second part is we have a number of developers willing to work for free. They're going to remove their profit margin and just work to cover costs and administrative expenses. So taking out developer profit, taking out the cost of land, the cost that we can develop at and cost that we can sell at plummets. The last piece is done by the provincial government with Bill 23. Bill 23 removed development fees for affordable housing, specifically for charities and not-for-profits. We happen to be a charity, and so this applies to us. And so what we're looking at is then seeing the costs associated with the development charges waived. So by waiving all three of these different areas, by having no cost for the land, by not having profits placed into the eventual cost or the eventual purchase price, and not having development fees, we think we can get the housing, well, we know we can get the housing, down to about half price.
Mills detailed the steps of building this kind of project and went through how the rentals and the ownership will work in practicality, including obtaining the land, vetting the candidates, and ensuring affordability is locked in.
But one of the big things is that whoever is accepting or replying to that tender does need to accept that they are not going to be making a profit. This is not a way to be making money off of our community. This is not a way to be, you know, growing profit margins. This is an opportunity to make something transformative happen in the region. So we have the opportunity to be really broad in saying who needs this and how do we make systemic impacts across the community. So we don't have to be particularly narrow. We can be broad spectrum, but we will, again, because these are affordable, be looking for folks who need affordable housing. If you're in a position where you don't need affordable housing, this is not the type of thing that we're necessarily targeting for. So we vet potential candidates, and then suitable owners purchase from us. It's a purchase. Everybody who buys from a Habitat now, they buy and own the home. What we do is we register an option agreement on title, which puts some controls and restrictions on the way in which the home is eventually sold. And that's how we ensure that this is affordable in perpetuity. So rather than this being something that is sold out to open market, this option agreement that we've been working on and using for many years, tested in court, protects the asset so that it stays affordable and stays doing the things we've always said that it needed to, so we can fulfill our promises, not just to our donors, but to the community at large when we talk about a project like this. And so we're going to try this. We're going to build these homes, opportunities for families to own and rent in an affordable way that just doesn't exist within the market right now.
Mr. Mills laid out the budget, including proposed prices for the new units.
One-bedroom units, we're looking at $280,000. Be looking at a two-bedroom unit at $330,000 and a three-bedroom at $400,000. So far below current market costs, and that still is actually within then that entire price point. So if you see the project cost, the build price is being $19,800,000, and then the projected value if we sold would be $20 million. So just over the costing. So the math works. And we say this just to say we're not kind of hoping. We're not guessing. This isn't a pie in the sky sort of idea, or wouldn't it be nice? We've done the math, and this can work.
While hopes are high for future subsidies and collaborations that will bring costs down, currently they are looking for low-cost or free land, which is why, of course, the project came to the all-council meeting.
We're working at land acquisitions. We're working with our local partners to talk about what land could be available, where we could perhaps purchase land, or hopefully have free land transferred to us. We have partnerships agreements getting put in place. We have a number of not-for-profits who have already signed on. We have business community that has signed on to work with us. We want to make sure that we are designing this in a way that is wise. Everything can't be the same. We can't make one unit and assume that everything is going to be the same. The needs of the community are broad, and so our design needs to be broad. So we want to make sure that we are designing this both for the needs of the folks that are going to be in there, realizing that this is going to mean that these need to meet, you know, not just build standards, but what does our community actually need? Who in our community needs housing, and make sure that we're being intentional to build to the needs of the community right from the get-go.
The assembled councils had already pledged their support to the project, and during this meeting, councillors asked questions about the group's definition of need, ensuring the project helps as broad a group as possible, how cities can offer expert help to reduce the cost of consultancy fees, and suggestions on how to expedite project timelines. Waterloo City Councillor for Ward 6, Mary Lou Rowe, asked, "What's in it for the developers?"
Hi. My question, I'm interested in the conversations that you're having with the home builders. Mm-hmm. And if they're signing up and there is no profit in it for them, sort of what their goal is, and if it is giving back to the community, or is there something, you know, that they're looking for as well?
There's multiple wins for our home builders that we're partnered with at this time. So yes, there is altruism in the sense like, hey, we live here. If you talk to the folks who are involved, you know, they live in this community. They understand how hard it is. And so the idea of saying, hey, what does a healthy and appropriate community look like? I want my kids to grow up in a healthy community. That makes sense. So I think there is some that kind of general altruism. There's also the reality that if you are a home builder right now, you know, builds are slow. And so how do you make sure that you keep your staff busy? Because you don't want to lose your staff to other places. Or if you're a home builder and you're trying to actually build, who's doing the building? If you can't afford to live here, where's our skilled trades going to be? They're going elsewhere. And so there's the idea of the economic ripple effect where skilled trades are leaving because they can't afford to live here. Well, if you want to keep building, you're going to need to have those folks in this community to be able to continue. So I think that there are knock-on economic impacts to the builders. And you know, I don't say I think. That's what they've told me. They kind of said there are knock-on economic benefits and impacts to the community, as well as these are good people. They care about their community. They want to do something good for the region.
Kitchener Mayor Barry Verbanovich asked if the group would be interested in smaller land parcels, which may be more central and might expedite construction. But the group is holding out, hoping to find a big parcel of land.
I think at this point, we're still looking for sizable chunks. There are some real benefits when it comes down to finding the costing and keeping the costing low. So what we're trying to do is find how do we keep this as accessibly priced as possible. And if we're going to redesign, you know, designing one, you know, community on 10 acres versus designing 10 different plots with 10 different topographies and 10 different areas on 1 acre lots, it is going to increase the price. And so I think our focus has tried to be, how do we make this as accessibly priced as possible? And so scale has been one of those things. Now, realizing transit and that stuff does make sense, but I have, you know, to say, you know, thank you to the region and the regional staff, you know, who've been a part of these conversations. They've been really good in saying, look, if you're going to put 2,500 units somewhere, then we'll talk about how we get transit out to that. So I think the region's been really supportive in making sure that, you know, we can make a reasonable solution. This can be a planned collaborative thing because the intent of this has never been, and I know this is not what you're insinuating, but this is a collaborative thing. So we're going to try and figure out how do we do this with all of our partners. But as it stands right now, our goal is looking at larger chunks just because the opportunity for cost savings diminishes the smaller the piece of property we get through.
No, I get that, but I guess I would encourage you from the municipal perspective, you know, where a lot of the planning work lies and is going to lie, to really open your minds to smaller pieces, because it'll make it more, it'll increase the potential of how much we can engage with you on this.
Another Waterloo City Councillor, Royce Bodily for Ward 2, asked where the land will come from.
For me, the elephant in the room here is the land, and you sort of talked about it a little bit, but I'm wondering if you can elaborate on how the process of finding land and working with municipal and the other partners that you had referenced is going. And I guess from my perspective, some of the consortium of developers who are a part of this process, I guess I'm cognizant of the fact that they also own a lot of land in the region, and I'm curious if there have been any conversations with those developers about utilizing their land for this project.
So I think the conversations are going well. The cities have been, and the CAO group specifically, has been really receptive to conversation with us. We've been meeting with them for quite some time, which is lovely. We've been talking for about a year about, hey, this is the project. What could it look like? There are processes that need to go through, and there are sort of, you know, we have to make sure that this is, you know, transparent and clear and obvious and appropriate in all ways. So there's lots of stuff and steps to go through. And, you know, so cities have, you know, they have inventories, they know what they've gotten. So we've been talking about, is this something, you know, at a high level that you think you could engage with? And so that's kind of where we're at. We are hoping that cities will be able to continue to kind of move forward and say, this is something we're excited about, we want to do, and can, you know, partner with us on. When it comes to developer land, we have had conversations. The reality of it is that, you know, we'd be back to then a market purchase. These are for-profit companies that have bought that for, you know, and so they could be a conversation saying, hey, I could, and we could look at my land, but as soon as we get into market purchasing of that, one of the major pillars of making this affordable for families or for folks involved disappears. And so there is that real need, which is why we've gone through, you know, partners who are invested in this. So saying to the cities, hey, is this an opportunity for you to say, hey, you don't build houses really, and housing's a huge issue. What assets can you bring to the table to try and ask everybody to do what they do best? The city's going to be judicious in their sort of work. We're going to build the houses. We're going to make sure it gets to the right folks. We're trying to find a good balance around what everybody can bring to the table in kind of a fair partnership.
The project is still in its infancy, but there is huge support from all sides of the community, and experienced, well-connected people are leading the charge. Most exciting of all, this community is committed to ensuring the profit motive stays out of this project into the foreseeable future and beyond. For CKMS News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I am MP Holmes. Thanks for listening.